CSRD. Ännu en förkortning som väcker känslor hos företagare. Men lugn, våra rådgivare här på PWC har koll på det som din verksamhet berörs av. Från hållbarhetslösningar och nya regelverk till affärsutveckling och ansvarsfulla AI-strategier. Välkommen till PWC.
Ja?
Hallå? Pizzeria Grandiosa? Jag vill ha en Grandiosa capriciosa och en pepperoni.
Haha, något mer?
En kaffefilter.
Ja, okej, ses samma.
Grandiosa, hela Sveriges hempizza. Den med mycket på.
Välkommen till Unionen.
Jo, jag undrar hur många semesterdagar jag har som projektanställd. Och vad gör jag om jag inte får något semestertillägg? Påverkar det inkomstförsäkringen? För jag har blivit varslad, till skillnad från min kollega som ofta kör härskarteknik på möten och dessutom har högre lön trots samma tjänst. Vad gör jag nu?
Okej, vi tar det från början.
Jobbigt på jobbet. Som medlem i Unionen kan du alltid prata med våra rådgivare.
I was probably the first person to really like drink the Kool-Aid.
Erica Chung går sista året på Berkeley, University of California, och är snart färdig med sin examen i molekylär cellbiologi när hon för första gången hör talas om Theranos. På en yrkesmässa på universitetsområdet ser hon hur studenterna flockas runt Theranos monter.
There was this long line for this company and I really hit it off with the HR recruiter. And she said, you know, if you're graduating, like you're already graduated, you're looking for a job and you're looking for a research and development position within the sciences, we have spots for you.
Erica är 25-årsåldern, på jakt efter sitt första riktiga jobb. Och allt det rekryteraren berättar om Theranos låter spännande.
So I gave her my resume at the career fair and then almost instantly I got an interview. It was exciting to talk about kind of how you can apply the sciences and then changing the world, and not only that but making healthcare more accessible, making it more affordable and doing something that no one had ever done before.
Erica Chung har redan blivit erbjuden jobb på två andra företag, men hon väljer Theranos. Hon beundrar Elisabeths driv och företagets höga syften. Men det ska inte dröja länge innan Erica Chung inser det som allt fler på Theranos redan insett. Att tekniken inte fungerar. Och att det nog bara är en tidsfråga innan Elisabeth avslöjas.
I literally would Google Theranos scam, wondering like when that information was going to come out.
And I said it may not be today, it may not be next week or next year. But the truth will come out.
Det här är Uppgång och fall, The Dropout, berättelsen om Elizabeth Holmes och Theranos. Serien är en samproduktion mellan ABC Radio, Nightline och oss på Just Stories. Originalintervjuerna är i de flesta fall gjorda av den amerikanska journalisten Rebecca Jarvis, och ni kommer att höra henne ställa en del frågor i avsnitten. Glöm inte att prenumerera på Uppgång och fall i din poddspelare för att inte missa när nya avsnitt släpps. Jag heter Josefin Patsauer. Du lyssnar på The Dropout. Fjärde delen, visselblåsaren. I oktober 2013 börjar Erica på Theranos som labbassistent. En tidigare labbansvarig på Theranos beskriver Erica som en av de smartaste personerna han jobbat med. Och redan från allra första början märker hon att det är en extremt hemlighetsfull plats.
And it was just sort of instilled in us in our onboarding. Like we need to keep certain things secret. You're not allowed to talk to your friends and family about what's going on here. They would barricade certain portions of the lab so you couldn't see.
Erica Chung får inte ens berätta var hon arbetar. Vilket egentligen inte spelar så stor roll eftersom hon, precis som resten av den unga ambitiösa personalen, tillbringar större delen av sin vakna tid på jobbet.
The majority of the people that had actually worked with the technology tended to be recent graduates, tended to be people that didn't have a lot of experience. But many of us work 12, sometimes 16 hours a day.
Det är en kaosartad miljö. En tidigare labbansvarig beskriver det så här. Det ser ut som att Theranos drivs av galna vetenskapsmän. Provrör och kemikalier ligger utspridda i labben och trots att företaget vid den här tiden är 10 år gammalt så känns det fortfarande som en startup. Mjukvaruutvecklaren Michael Craig, som vi hörde i andra avsnittet, minns frustrationen bland de anställda vid den här tiden.
People, I heard a lot of complaints by the project managers about having to change directions constantly, having everyone's all in on this, and then oh no, everyone needs to be all in on this, and it felt like it was just being mismanaged.
Men att säga ifrån upplever Erika Chung inte som ett alternativ.
People were very scared of upsetting Elizabeth Holmes and upsetting Sunny Balwani. And so
what makes you say that? Why were people afraid?
Because one, people blatantly saying that they were scared of losing their jobs. Two, people working insane hours. Three, the kind of blame game where when things would go wrong, everyone was looking to point to someone to blame. People aren't trying to understand what's actually going wrong, but people are just getting upset about what's going wrong.
Erika Chung, som jobbar med att analysera patienternas prover i labbet, blir allt mer nedslagen. Hon märker att maskinerna inte ens klarar av att göra enkla bastest, som blodgruppering och antikroppsscreening.
So you basically start out with a base test.
Yep.
So you know what the expectation is.
Right.
So you take the sample
right.
from that person and you put that base test in your machine
yeah.
just to say, okay, we know that it's working, we know that it's cleared. And what happened?
And it failed. And it kept failing. I kept running it over and over and over. And how it was handled, it totally blew me away.
Erika Chung, som känner till patienternas blodgrupper, vet vad testen borde visa. Men det blir felaktiga resultat, om och om igen. Hon rapporterar till en överordnad om de misslyckade testerna. När chefen sen kommer med ett förslag på lösning blir Erika förbluffad.
So essentially how it got resolved is they took out data points and they said, oh, well, this is like the best 2 out of 6, the way that we kind of average things.
So you're saying essentially that you were cherry picking
exactly
the information
right
in order to make the information make sense
right.
Chefen föreslår att de ska välja de resultat som faktiskt visar rätt och bortse från de felaktiga. Det här tillvägagångssättet är inte vetenskapligt korrekt. Obducent Dr. Stephen Master förklarar varför.
That it would never be appropriate for someone to do that kind of quality control. If you cherry pick the data and only pick the quality controls that look like they fit so that you can just keep going without actually doing anything to fix the fundamental problem, then you are again not doing quality control in the correct way.
Då går Erika Chung direkt till Sunny. Han har det övergripande labbansvaret och hon vill berätta för honom om problemen. Men han blir förbannad.
He had asked me, so how do you like working for this company? And how are things going for you so far? And I said, I really enjoy working for this company, but there are a lot of problems. We're having a lot of issues with our quality controls. And then he just sort of lost it at that point. And he's like, well, what makes you think that we have problems? Like, what was your training in statistics? I'm tired of people coming in here and starting fires where there are no fires. And problems when there are no problems.
Det som upprör Erika Chung allra mest är att testerna som hon märkt inte håller måttet faktiskt är i bruk inom vården och att människor förlitar sig på deras resultat.
We could have given all these different excuses, but the problems weren't being fixed and we kept continuously processing patients.
Meaning those patients were taking information that you were providing to them and making medical decisions.
Right.
With that information.
Correct.
Erika Chung är inte ensam om att se problem. Strax innan hon börjar på Theranos har en annan person med nära band till Elizabeth blivit anställd på företaget.
I met Elizabeth in my grandfather's living room, which is on Stanford campus. That was the fall of 2011.
Det här är ett förhör med Tyler Schultz, barnbarn till en av Theranos styrelsemedlemmar, George Schultz, den tidigare utrikesministern. Tyler Schultz, som är ungefär 6 år yngre än Elizabeth, minns väl första gången han träffar henne. Då var han förstaårselev på Stanford-universitetet.
I was in love with her vision. I thought she was brilliant. I was totally sold on the idea of changing the way blood testing is done.
Efter en hel sommar som praktikant på Theranos vill Tyler Schultz inget hellre än att få jobba där.
My first day was the day after they opened the first Walgreens wellness center.
Precis som Erica Chung är Tyler Schultz till en början förväntansfull och entusiastisk över Theranos vision. Men redan under hans första dag på företaget blir chefen med ansvar för utvecklingen av blodprov sparkad på stående fot. Han hade ställt för många frågor, säger Tyler Schultz.
That kind of set the tone for kind of the entire scientific community within Theranos, where working smart was not valued, but working hard was.
Tyler Schultz farfar, George Schultz, står Elisabeth extremt nära. Det var han som gjorde det möjligt för henne att få med sig så många tungviktare i Theranos styrelse.
Like she would go have lunches or dinners with my grandfather all the time, and I was there for some of them.
Den före detta utrikesministern George Shultz och Elizabeth Holmes träffades genom en gemensam vän på Hoover-institutet, ett slags vetenskaplig tankesmedja på Stanford.
As soon as she started talking, I did a double take.
När George Shultz senare berättar om deras första möte säger han att han med en gång såg den enorma potentialen med hennes blodprovsteknik.
We think that there's going to be a revolution in preventive medicine, and that is going to have a big impact on quality of life and on the cost of the healthcare system.
George Shultz och Elizabeth har regelbunden kontakt. Det första året efter att de lärt känna varandra säger George Schultz att de träffas nästan 30 gånger och att Elisabeth blir en sån vän som bjuds in till familjehögtider och middagar. Vid de tillfällena är det inte ovanligt att hon tar tillfället i akt att tala gott om Theranos.
Like every time she came to our family Christmas dinners or other family events like that, she would always talk about how Theranos was more accurate than existing methods.
Men Tyler Schultz säger att hans egen upplevelse av företaget inte alls stämmer överens med den bild Elisabeth målar upp inför hans familj. Och han har särskilt svårt för allt hon intalar hans 93-åriga farfar.
My grandfather would go get a Theranos test done and he would have a needle in his arm. And there'd be some, you know, excuse about why they needed to take a venous draw for him, but you know, for everybody else it's a finger prick, and he continued to buy into that. I also told him that most of the tests weren't even run on the Theranos platform, so not only were, you know, it couldn't run 300 tests in one single drop of blood, but they weren't even running most of the tests on the Theranos devices. He told me that Elizabeth told him that the only reason they have third-party devices is to validate their own technologies, but that no blood tests were run on those devices. You know, I worked there, and while I was working there, we only ran 7 tests on the Theranos devices. She also made it sound like the devices could simultaneously run multiple tests, but in reality, each device was, you know, calibrated to run one thing at a time.
Det är svårt för Tyler Schultz att övertyga sin farfar om att han har blivit förd bakom ljuset. Kanske beror det på att farfarn satt såväl pengar som sitt rykte på spel.
You also said that Ms. Holmes was manipulative. What do you mean by that?
I think she's really good at telling you what you need to hear to keep going. I mean, she did that with me to some degree, but she did that a lot with my grandfather, I felt. She became really close with my grandfather, and I felt like she used her personal relationship with him to, I guess, a business advantage. And, you know, she would just, like, feed him and, you know, was feeding me, basically feeding everybody, things that were just completely factually not true.
I sitt vittnesmål beskriver Tyler Schultz ingående alla problem och felaktigheter som han säger sig med egna ögon har sett hos Theranos maskiner. Utifrån vad han berättar låter apparaterna snarare som misslyckade fysikexperiment än banbrytande medicinska uppfinningar.
There was this mechanical arm that had a pipette on the end that would go and suck up different reagents. Oftentimes it either wouldn't pick up the right tips, and then they'll usually fall off sometime during the test. They fall into the bottom of the machine and it would get in the gears. This like wire, I think it was just like a clothes hanger, and the doors wouldn't close, so you'd have to tape it shut. Go in there and fish the tips. Another one was temperature sensitivity, so they would often overheat. You'd have to open the door.
Tyler Schultz säger att de flesta anställda var mycket väl medvetna om problemen.
a lot of people would pretty much joke about how awful they were. I went out with some of my housemates and I saw some of the product managers there. One of them was hitting on one of my friends, was saying that he was clean, STD free. we were making jokes about how we didn't actually know because he was tested with a Theranos device.
Men även om de anställda skojar om det, så är det allvarliga saker som står på spel. Folk får felaktiga provsvar, vilket kan leda till att de tar avgörande beslut om sin hälsa på oriktiga grunder.
I think at the end of the day everyone was concerned that we weren't giving patients the right results.
To your knowledge, did Ms. Holmes know that Theranos could not do all those tests?
She knew.
Erica Chung berättar att hon till slut börjar dokumentera alla problem som hon får syn på.
She was really concerned with quality control failures. These were happening really frequently. I remember she was like keeping a pretty precise tally of how often these were failing.
I would put up error reporting sheets by the machines and they would be taken down. Like, people didn't want to actually know the number of times that we were having issues, and it was probably because they were starting to realize we were having them so frequently.
Erica Chung säger att en av arbetsledarna varnar henne för att rapportera problemen.
I mean, she told me that he told her, don't speak up. If you speak up, then you're on their radar. You don't want to be on their radar.
Did you form an impression that it was not acceptable or encouraged to ask questions?
Yeah, that was the culture. People knew. They would say like, oh, don't speak up or, you know, you get fired. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was definitely like a culture of fear. I don't know exactly how it started, but it was definitely there.
Så får Sunny reda på att Erica Chung och Tyler Schultz pratar med varandra om problemen de upplever. Sunny konfronterar Erica.
The reception that I got was basically, you need to sit down and keep your mouth shut and you don't know what you're talking about and you need to do the job that I hired you for, which is process patient samples. And that was when I was like, this is not an environment, this is not a culture where they really care about, you know, what consequences this might have on patients.
Erica Chung känner det som att hon talar inför döva öron. Men Tyler Schultz förstår att han har en unik position genom sina familjekontakter. Men han vill vara helt säker på att hans farhågor är befogade innan han tar upp dem med Elizabeth. Därför kontaktar han hälsoministeriet i delstaten New York, men han gör det under ett annat namn.
I didn't even say where I worked initially. I wanted to get the information from somebody who really understood it about whether what we did was okay. And I wanted it to be not from somebody inside Theranos, but from somebody who, you know, didn't have skin in the game, essentially, who knew what they were talking about.
Tyler Schultz berättar för tillsynsmyndigheten vad han och Erica Chung har bevittnat på Theranos. Och föga förvånande håller myndigheten med om att det inte låter bra. De råder honom att skicka in ett anonymt klagomål.
But they said that they would like to know the name of the company that I worked with so that they could work with them to improve the practices. So then I gave them the name. Theranos gave them the list of the tests we'd been running.
Och i ett mejl till Elizabeth Holmes flaggar Tyler Schultz för problemen han tycker sig se.
Actually, I liked Elizabeth and I thought we could make changes, but I knew it would be a hard conversation to have.
Elizabeth svarar. Tyler, det här är väldigt, väldigt allvarliga uttalande och anklagelser från din sida. Vidare skriver hon att hon ska be sitt team gå igenom hans mejl, rad för rad, och att det därför kommer dröja lite innan hon svarar. Men istället för återkoppling från Elizabeth så får Tyler Schultz ett svar från Sunny.
I think sending an email like this from Elizabeth would not look good for her image, and I think her relationship with my grandfather was still really important to her, so it made more sense to have Sunny respond.
Ett utdrag ur Sunnys svar lyder. Din hänsynslösa anklagelse rörande företagets integritet, dess ledarskap och mest betydelsefulla medarbetare är baserad på total okunskap och en så grov förolämpning att hade uttalandet kommit från någon annan så hade vi ställt dem till svars och det bestämdaste. Den enda anledningen till att jag låter detta uppta så mycket av min arbetstid att jag personligen svarar är att du är Mr. Schultz barnbarn. Allt jag vill höra från dig i det här ärendet framöver är en ursäkt. Nu har Tyler Schultz fått nog och istället för en ursäkt skickar han in en avskedsansökan. Han har 2 veckors uppsägningstid men säger att Theranos ber honom packa ihop och lämna företaget samma dag. Därefter berättar han för sin farfar vad som hänt.
He said that Elizabeth told him that I had quit in a really dramatic and unprofessional and inappropriate way. He said they're trying to convince me that you're stupid. But they can't do that. They can, however, convince me that you're wrong. And in this case, I do believe you're wrong.
Tyler Schultz ska äta middag hos sin farfar senare samma kväll och bjuder med sig Erica Chung.
Erica was really frustrated about how this was handled as well because she had similar concerns. And so she was trying to basically find a voice. And I said, I don't know if anything will happen, but I know my grandfather will at least listen to you.
George Schultz bor på Stanfords campusområde. Hans 3-våningshus ligger i en rad av byggnader som tillhör universitetet. Gröna buskar ramar in en stenlagd gång som leder fram till en blå dörr. Under middagen berättar Tyler Schultz och Erica Chung sin version av vad som hänt. Erica beskriver vad hon med egna ögon sett hända med patienternas blodprover. Men George Schultz reagerar inte som de förväntat sig.
My grandfather said that the Theranos devices were currently being used in medevac helicopters.
He said that?
He said that. He didn't say who told him that, but I have a really good guess.
Who do you believe told him that?
I would assume that Elizabeth told him that. He also said they were being used in operating rooms. Well, I remember Eric and I saying that that couldn't possibly be true because the devices were barely working within the walls of Theranos. He said that, you know, highly, highly qualified people are telling him that Theranos is the real deal and that this is going to revolutionize medicine.
Erica Chung och Tyler Schultz lämnar middagen modfällda. Erica säger upp sig dagen därpå. Då har det gått 7 månader sedan hon började på Theranos. Men vad de inte vet är att någon från utsidan har påbörjat en första kritisk granskning av Theranos. John Ioannidis är professor i medicin vid Stanford-universitetet. Han bor och arbetar nära Theranos högkvarter. En dag promenerar han förbi byggnaden och blir helt enkelt nyfiken på vad det är för något.
I was just passing by its headquarters practically. Being of Greek origin, Theranos sounded like a Greek term that was very weird. The terms that come to mind are tyrannos, which is tyrant, and thanatos, which is death. So I said, why should a company want to have such a name?
Hans nyfikenhet är väckt, och nu vill han veta mer om företaget.
Basically, I'm looking for papers that have been peer-reviewed, that have been published in respectable journals, and that convey how this is done.
And what did you find?
Practically, I found nothing.
John Ioannidis börjar leta efter vetenskapliga studier eller artiklar om företagets produkt. Men det visar sig vara svårare än han anat att hitta några. Det gör honom förbryllad.
CSRD. Ännu en förkortning som väcker känslor hos företagare. Men lugn. Våra rådgivare här på PwC har koll på det som din verksamhet berörs av. Från hållbarhetslösningar och nya regelverk till affärsutveckling och ansvarsfulla AI-strategier. Välkommen till PwC.
Upptäck hyllade Xpeng G9 och P7 hos Bilia. Våra produktspecialister hjälper dig att hitta rätt modell för just dig. Boka din provkörning på bilia.se/xpeng redan idag. Välkommen till Bilia, din specialist på Xpeng.
Nej. Dåliga vibrationer är att gå utan byxor till jobbet. Bra vibrationer är när du inser att mobilen är i bröstfickan. Alla abonnemang för 20 kronor i månaden i 4 månader. Vimla, mobiloperatören med bra vibrationer.
So the very basic premise of science is that you need to have scientific documentation of the evidence that supports your claim. And if you have extraordinary claims or extravagant claims, like in the case of Theranos, that they were promising that they have something that would revolutionize the entire healthcare system, and it would be a completely disruptive type of innovation that the world had not seen before, you ask for even more evidence. You're not happy just to see a few papers with very questionable evidence and lots of question marks.
Det borde finnas dokumentation av alla test som gjorts av Theranos teknik. Vetenskapligt granskade artiklar som följer upp och belägger de medicinska påståenden som görs.
For some tests there's like tens of thousands of papers.
Så när John Ioannidis inte kan hitta någon sån dokumentation bestämmer han sig för att göra något ovanligt.
So I wrote a paper in a scientific journal, the Journal of the American Medical Association, where I just presented my experience that this is a startup that is promising to disrupt the entire medical care world, and the CEO is highly respected, and everybody thinks that this is the way to go. But our scientific literature doesn't include any evidence, and it was published early in 2015, at a time when no one, to my knowledge, had really questioned Theranos.
Hans kollegor hyllar honom för initiativet, men på Theranos är de förstås inte glada. John Ioannidis berättar att han får ett telefonsamtal från Theranos ledning.
I think that they were trying to win me over to their side. And I was actually in Rome, and it just happened that I was outside the Tempietto of Bramante, a masterpiece of the Renaissance, but it is hidden within a larger structure. So you can't really see it from the outside. You need to go inside, and then you see, you know, a spectacular building. So it seemed very similar that Theranos was saying that, you know, if you come inside, if you become an insider, you will see this masterpiece that is the best thing that has happened to diagnostic testing. But if you're an outsider, you will not see anything, and you're not allowed to see anything.
How did you leave the conversation?
On friendly terms, with a plan that we will keep in touch, have me meet with Elizabeth Holmes and try to discuss further, try to convince them that they need to publish in the scientific literature, and, you know, maybe try to convince me that I should co-author a paper with them.
What happened next?
That didn't materialize. Practically, there was no follow-up to that suggestion that that meeting would happen.
Vid samma tid börjar en reporter på Wall Street Journal vid namn John Carreyrou också att intressera sig för Theranos. John Carreyrou är grävande journalist baserad i New York, och under sina 20 år i yrket har han avslöjat flera ekobrott och bedrägerier.
I read a profile of Elizabeth Holmes in December 2014 written by Ken Auletta in The New Yorker. And one of the first things that struck me as off in that story was this notion that she had dropped out of Stanford with just 2 semesters of chemical engineering classes under her belt and gone on to pioneer groundbreaking new medical science. To really add value in medicine, you have to have the formal training, which often means going to medical school, and sometimes it means getting a PhD afterwards. And there's a reason that most Nobel winners in medicine are in their 60s when they win the Nobel.
John Carreyrou har en känsla av att någonting inte står rätt till. Men det är svårt att hitta källor som vill prata. De anställda vet att de riskerar att stämmas.
The threat of litigation was always in the air when you worked at Theranos. And employees knew it was not an empty threat because Elizabeth had sued former employees in the early years of the company. They also knew that starting in 2011, the outside counsel for Theranos was David Boies.
Theranos rådgivare vid rättstvister är David Boies, en av sin tids främsta rättegångsadvokater. Han representerade Al Gore under röstomräkningen i det amerikanska presidentvalet 2000. Senare var han med och drev igenom legaliseringen av äktenskap för samkönade. Men han är också känd som en skräckinjagande företagsjurist och Harvey Weinsteins försvarsadvokat.
For Theranos employees, he was a scarecrow. They thought that if they expressed their misgivings either internally or after they left to a regulator or a reporter, that it would be David Boies and his law firm that would be coming after them.
Theranos anställda känner väl till riskerna med att uttala sig. Och Tyler Schultz blir riktigt orolig när John Carreyrou kontaktar honom.
I noticed that he checked out my profile on LinkedIn. He must have heard from other employees that I was beginning to poke around and make calls. So I inmailed him. I didn't hear back for 4 weeks.
I ignored it for a few weeks.
Why did it take you so long?
I was afraid all this would happen. Then eventually I got really curious about what he knew.
And then one day I pick up the phone and it's Tyler.
And then I got sucked in.
He was terrified as well and was calling me from a burner phone because he didn't want our communications to be traced.
John Carreyrou är väldigt övertygande, säger Tyler Schultz.
John had a lot of information and the right track record, so I felt like giving him more information would go towards correcting a lot of the problems that I saw while I was there, which would ultimately save some patients from getting incorrect medical results. I guess I felt like John would actually ask the right questions.
Och det dröjer inte länge förrän Theranos jurister agerar. Det är slutet av juni 2015 och John Carreyrou ska just publicera sin första artikel om företaget när advokaten David Boyce kommer in till Wall Street Journal för vad som ska utvecklas till ett 5 timmar långt maratonmöte.
They came and we had a meeting with them in which their demeanor was very aggressive. They proceeded to tell us that I had misappropriated Theranos trade secrets and that I needed to destroy them or return them immediately.
Did you respond to that?
I mean, we made clear that that wasn't going to happen. We tried to keep things cordial, even though they were pretty aggressive. Eventually, we started going through these 80 questions that I had sent them in advance. And the basic question was, do you use commercial machines made by third parties for some, if not most, of your tests? And if the answer was yes, then they've been lying to everyone. And also, how many tests do you use proprietary Theranos technology for, and are the tests reliable? And when I started asking those questions, they wouldn't answer, invoking trade secrets. And so we kind of went around in circles for hours.
A five-hour meeting.
Right.
And they wouldn't tell you whether they were using outside machines to do what they claimed Theranos machines were doing.
All they would concede to is that they did own some commercial machines and they claimed to use them only for comparison purposes internally, essentially for research. But they wouldn't comment on whether they used them to test patient samples. It was frustrating, but it was the stonewalling was also a sign that I was on the right track. And so I came out of that five-hour meeting feeling like we were on to something big and I was just going to redouble my efforts.
So the meeting ends. They haven't answered your questions completely. Is there still a threat hanging over your head?
Well, David Boyce lets us know during the meeting that we're going to be receiving a letter pretty soon making explicit Theranos' legal stance. We, sure enough, we get that letter a couple days later. It again reiterates that I've essentially stolen Theranos trade secrets and that I need to destroy them or return them. A 23-page long letter comes a few days after that. That letter is essentially a searing indictment of me as a journalist and of my methods as a journalist. It's an attempt to really get the journal to disavow me. And at the end of that letter, the threat is very explicit that Theranos is going to sue if we proceed with the story.
Även Elisabeth gör sitt yttersta för att så tvivel inför John Carreyrous publicering. Innan hans artikel ens gått i tryck lyckas hon få in en text i The Wall Street Journal, alltså tidningen John själv jobbar för. Där skriver hon att Theranos står i frontlinjen för en ny era inom preventiv vård. Hon hävdar att Theranos labbtester granskas av FDA, den amerikanska motsvarigheten till Läkemedelsverket och Livsmedelsverket. Detta trots att bara en av Theranos tester, den för herpes, är godkänd av myndigheten.
I think it was that day pretty much that I had already filed my story to my editor and I went to his office and I said, you know, I think we need to speed up the process here because not only is she continuing to give interviews and use our own newspaper as her mouthpiece, but we knew that she was putting all this pressure on some of my confidential sources and I felt very concerned.
Och John Carreyrous anonyma källor, Tyler Schultz och Erica Chung, känner också av pressen från Theranos.
They had someone sit outside my work.
Your new job.
At my new job, and it scared my own coworkers. They were curious, like, why has this guy just been sitting outside of our lab for such a long time that they had waited to walk me to my car because I was the last one working that night.
När Erica Chung lämnar kontoret kliver en okänd man ur en stadsjeep och överlämnar ett hotfullt brev från advokaten David Boyce.
The letter that they had addressed was an address no one knew I was living at. It was a temporary home, so it freaked me out. Like, are they following me? How did they figure out where I lived? Because even my own mother had not known this address.
I brevet står det att Theranos har anledning att tro att Erica Chung är i färd med att avslöja affärshemligheter och att Theranos därför kommer stämma henne om hon inte omedelbart slutar med det. Erica rådfrågar en jurist som råder henne att rapportera allt hon bevittnat på företaget till tillsynsmyndigheten. Och Erica Chung är inte den enda som Theranos håller koll på.
Did Theranos have a private investigator follow you at any time, to your knowledge?
Yes. Over the summer, maybe like starting in June.
2015?
Yeah.
Tyler Schultz, som redan utsatts för påtryckningar från Theranos och från sin egen farfar, berättar att hans föräldrar blir ursinniga när de får veta att han pratat med en reporter.
My dad was on the phone with my grandfather and then got off the phone and he asked me, have you been speaking with the Wall Street Journal reporter? And I said, yes. And he said, they know you're totally f***ed. And he was more angry with me than I'd ever seen him in my life. He said, they know you did it. Like, why would you, like, you know how aggressive they are. Why would you do this? They're gonna, like, ruin your life, basically.
Då ringer Tyler Schultz till sin farfar, George Schultz.
And he said, well, Theranos knows that you've been speaking to a Wall Street Journal reporter. And I said, I don't know why they would think that. And he said, well, in any case, there's a one-page confidentiality agreement, and if you sign it, it will make everything go away. So how about you meet with the Theranos lawyers tomorrow morning, and you sign this agreement? And I said, that sounds fine, but can I come talk to you in person first without any lawyers around? And he said, yes.
Den kvällen åker Tyler Schultz till sin farfars hem inne på Stanfords campusområde. Han vill än en gång försöka beskriva sin bild av företaget och sin oro. Enligt Tyler säger hans farfar George Schultz att Theranos har tydliga bevis på att Tyler har läckt information.
He's telling me that there's complete sentences that they know came from my email, so I'm saying I don't know how that could possibly be true. And then he just says, well, you know, again, like whatever the case may be, will you just sign this one page document to make everything go away? And I said, yeah, I will definitely sign that.
Och då tar allt en oväntad vändning.
And then he said, there are two Theranos lawyers here right now. Can I go get them? And I said, sure, yeah, go get them. I'll sign the one page.
And there just happened to be two lawyers hidden somewhere in the house?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the reaction to learning that?
I was totally surprised. They come down and they don't come with a one-page confidentiality agreement. They come with a notice to appear in court on the, like, two mornings later, I think. A letter signed by David Boyce.
Tyler Schultz styvfarmor, som också är hemma, tycker att situationen blir väldigt obehaglig. Som hon ser det har juristerna legat i bakhåll på hennes sonson Tyler. George Schultz eskorterar juristerna till dörren, men dramatiken är inte över för det.
My grandfather would say, like, things like, your career will be ruined if this article comes out.
Samtidigt, inne på Theranos huvudkontor i en annan del av stan, råder fullständigt kaos, berättar anställda som fortfarande är kvar.
I definitely think that that was a very unexpected surprise for them. And definitely not something good put it lightly.
En tidig torsdagsmorgon i augusti 2015 gör inspektörer från tillsynsmyndigheten FDA ett oannonserat besök på Theranos. Syftet är att inspektera laboratorierna. Mjukvaruutvecklaren Michael Craig är på plats när det händer.
They came in through the door and someone from the legal department was notified and came out and escorted them quickly into a room where they were ushered them into one of the conference rooms.
Anställda på plats upplever det gastkramande när inspektörer med stränga miner gör entré. Men det finns en på Theranos som verkar ta allt med ro. Elizabeth.
One of my friends from there said to me, you know, if you really want to believe something, you will do all the necessary gymnastics you need to do in order to believe it. And I kind of feel that that's completely apropos of Elizabeth Holmes.
Efter nästan 2 veckor av grundliga inspektioner hittar FDA 14 regelbrott. Theranos säger att de kan lösa de flesta inom en vecka. Och om de sen faktiskt gör det har FDA varken velat bekräfta eller dementera. Samtidigt som Theranos försöker hantera FDA försöker Tyler Schultz hantera Theranos. Han anlitar egna advokater och tar upp kampen mot företagets jurister. Något som kommer kosta hans föräldrar nästan $500,000. Och Tyler fortsätter prata med reportern John Carreyrou på Wall Street Journal. Trots att han nu riskerar att förlora såväl nära relationer som sin karriär och hela framtid.
And in the end, I'm able to publish in large part thanks to Tyler.
Den 15 oktober 2015 publicerar Wall Street Journal det första i en rad brännheta avslöjanden om Theranos. I artikeln skriver John Carreyrou att Theranos inte använder sin egen teknologi för att utföra blodproverna de erbjuder. Istället använder de blodprovsmaskiner från andra företag, som till exempel Siemens, till merparten av testerna.
Once we published the story, it was pretty much bulletproof. It withstood the counterattacks, and then regulators acted, and eventually everything that we'd written was proven right.
På Theranos kallar Elizabeth till stormöte. De anställda tränger ihop sig i kafeterian, sätter sig tätt i sittbåsen och lutar sig mot det som finns att luta mot. Mjukvaruutvecklaren Michael Craig minns hur Elizabeth Holmes och Sunny Balwani står mitt i rummet med en mikrofon och en högtalare. De berättar för sina anställda att de är under attack. De säger att reportern John Carreyrou är deras värsta fiende, att han är korrupt och att han gör det här på uppdrag av stora företag.
She definitely did that thing where you unite people in common opposition against someone else, which is, you know, probably can read in the art of war.
Sen börjar de skandera.
Fuck you, Carreyrou, is what we chanted. I joined in kind of like tongue in cheek.
Michael Craig skanderar också.
And what did you think when you were chanting?
I believed it. When you're really committed to something and you really want to believe something, you'll do whatever you need to do to believe it.
Did you apologize?
Oh, I guess I haven't. Sorry, John.
Några anställda på Theranos skapar till och med ett tv-spel där John Carreyrou är skurken.
I'm playing Space Invaders Theranos Edition.
Det här ljudet kommer från en film som Wall Street Journal publicerat. Där syns John Carreyrou själv spela spelet. Han skjuter mot den lilla figuren som ska föreställa honom själv med pyttesmå behållare av blod, nanotainers. Särskilt utvecklade för att förvara den lilla mängd blod som utvinns vid ett Theranos blodprov.
The invader in this version of the game is me along with some Zika viruses. And the machine gun at the bottom of the screen is Theranos's mini lab blood testing device, and the bullets that it's shooting are its little nanotainer vials. You know, it's another one of the crazy twists in this crazy story that has essentially consumed the past 3.5 years of my life.
Det är många som fortfarande sluter upp bakom Elizabeth. Men efter en sån våg av förödande publicitet hade kanske andra VDs valt att ta ett steg tillbaka. Eller till och med tvingats sluta. men inte Elizabeth Holmes. Trotsigt ställer hon upp i Jim Cramers intervjuprogram Mad Money på CNBC. Iklädd sin sedvanliga svarta polotröja berättar hon sin version.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I have to tell you, in all my years, I can't recall a private company that I have to candidly many have never heard of getting this kind of attention and scrutiny. What do you think is going on here?
This is what happens when you work to change things. First they think you're crazy, then they fight you, and then all of a sudden you change the world.
Men nästa strid för Elizabeth ska inte avgöras av någon folkdomstol, utan via en rättegång i en riktig domstol.
This is an investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission in the matter of Theranos Inc. to determine whether there have been violations of certain provisions of the federal securities laws.
I nästa avsnitt av The Dropout, undergången. Elizabeth Holmes och hennes kompanjon Sunny Balwani tvingas till slut svara på de svåra frågorna under ed.
Did it concern you that a number of tests weren't working on Theranos' devices?
I know that we made mistakes.
I think this was no secret that Theranos was doing traditional blood testing.
Except for the fact that the advertising itself suggested you could have your tests done with a prick of blood.
Well, that was... It never said that's the only way it would go.
When it comes to our health, people want to know it's 100% accurate day one. They don't want to feel like the technology that they're using is going to work 10 years from now. They want to know that what's inside of a Walgreens or at their doctor's office can actually do what it says it will do.
You know, Rebecca, of course that's true. I think, though, the unfortunate thing is there's no perfect answer. There's mistakes that are made every day, but that's not fraud.
Du har lyssnat på Uppgång och fall, The Dropout, en samproduktion mellan ABC Radio, Nightline och oss på Just Stories. Originalversionen av The Dropout är skriven och producerad av Taylor Dunn, Victoria Thompson och Rebecca Jarvis. Vi som jobbat med den här produktionen från Just Stories är Blenda Zettervall Klingert, Josefin Patsauer, Joel Silberstein Hont, David Mer och Gustav Sondén.
Ska några små tassar flytta in hos dig? Hos Trygg Hansa får din valp eller kattunge 25% rabatt på försäkringen första året. Läs mer och teckna djurförsäkringen på trygghansa.se. Trygg Hansa. Trygghet för livet.
Du, åker på ekonomin. Har han träffat någon? Han ser så happy ut varje onsdag.
Det är nog Ikea.
Har du dejtat någon där eller?
Han säger att han bara äter.
Ja, det är ju nice alltså.
Missa inte att onsdagar är happy days på Ikea. Fram till 31 maj äter du som är eller blir Ikea Family-medlem alla varmrätter till halva priset. Välkommen till Ikea.
Välkommen till Momang, ett nytt smidigare kasino från Svenska Spel, Sport och Casino, där du enkelt kan spela hur lite du vill. Idag har vi Gonzo från spelet Gonzos Quest här som ska berätta hur smidigt det är.
Sí, es muy excelente y muy rápido.
Tack Gonzo. Momang, för dig över 18 år, stödlinjen.se.